Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. We begin on the front page above the fold. Former teacher Paul L. Muser. After guilty plea, Muser released. Ahead of July sentencing, he'll be on home confinement and GPS monitoring. Pontiac. A former Paxton Buckley Loda High School teacher pleaded guilty to felony charges of grooming and indecent solicitation of a child last Wednesday and was allowed to be released from custody ahead of a July sentencing hearing. Paul L. Muser, 72, of Buckley, entered the guilty plea in Ford County Circuit Court as part of a fully negotiated plea agreement, according to online court records. In exchange, State's Attorney Andrew Killian agreed to dismiss the most serious of the four charges he had filed against Muser, two class two felony counts of attempted criminal assault, sexual assault. Killian did not immediately respond to an email requesting comment. Livingston County Judge Mary Cole, who was assigned the case, set a sentencing hearing for 10 a.m. Monday, July 6th. Ahead of the hearing, Muser will be required to undergo a sex offender evaluation, according to court records. According to state statute, the grooming charge, a Class 4 felony, carries penalties ranging from up to 30 months of probation to 1 to 3 years in prison, while the charge of indecent solicitation of a child, which was amended from a Class 2 felony to a Class 3 felony as part of the plea deal, is punishable by a sentence ranging from up to 30 months of probation to 2 to 5 years in prison. Also, during last Wednesday's hearing held in Cole's Pontiac courtroom, the judge granted Muser's release from the Ford County Jail, pursuant to an agreed pretrial release order, the records show. According to jail staff, Muser was no longer in custody as of Thursday afternoon. The conditions of Muser's release include that he be subject to home confinement at the home of his sister in Paxton, along with electronic GPS monitoring. Muser was also ordered to have no contact with the victim or any other minor and not leave Illinois without the court's permission, notify the court of any change in address within 24 hours, and refrain from possessing a firearm or other dangerous weapon, and surrender any firearms in his possession to the sheriff. In addition, Muser is prohibited from using any internet-capable devices, including smartphones, tablets, computers, and gaming systems, along with using any social media accounts or platforms, including through third parties, and using email, chat apps, online forms, or gaming communications. Muser was ordered to surrender his internet-capable devices. Meanwhile, Muser will be allowed to use one non-internet phone capable of voice and SMS only and shall not delete or alter any call logs or SMS chats, according to the order. Muser will also be allowed to use a computer under the supervision of an adult for banking, medical telehealth, court-ordered services, or other needs when approved and directly supervised by the Office of Statewide Pretrial Services, but he must maintain a log of all allowed computer usage signed off by the defender and the supervisor, the order stated. Muser will be prohibited from using incognito mode or deleting his browser history of any permitted computer usage. If found to be in violation of the conditions of the order, Muser would face up to 6 months in jail, the order warned. The granting of Muser's pretrial release made moot a motion filed earlier this year by his attorney, Lance Cagle of Paxton, that requested that same outcome. Muser has been in custody since March 16th, when he was arrested on a Ford County warrant in Oklahoma, where he once led a Hall of Fame career as a head boys basketball coach and taught at various high schools. earlier in March, Muser was placed on administrative leave, then resigned from his positions as a driver's education and physical education teacher amid an investigation into alleged inappropriate communications with a minor. According to charging documents, Muser, a 2024 PBL Hall of Fame inductee and 1972 Paxton High School graduate, allegedly invited a female teenager to his home last Christmas Eve, intending to commit a sexual act with the teen. Also, over the course of nearly a year, between January 2025 and December 24, 2025, Muser allegedly offered the teen snacks and money, discussed things of a sexual nature, including his desire to perform acts of sexual penetration with the child, and exchanged emails with the teen outside of school, according to charging documents. According to an April 29th court filing by Killian in support of Muser's continued pretrial detainment, the year-long grooming pattern involved the use of Muser's private email account to communicate with the student about personal topics over a lengthy period. The teen stated that Muser explicitly requested sexual acts at different points in time, Killian wrote, adding that Muser also allegedly touched her waist and asked her about her sexual activity, offered her money in exchange for sex, called her his girlfriend, and gave her secret gifts. As late as this past February, Muser also allegedly gave money to a different minor student, Killian said, conduct for which Muser received an oral reprimand from the school principal on February 27th. Turning back to the front page, we have from the Ford County EMA, Whitebird steps down as EMA's coordinator, blames toxic work environment and a vendetta. Paxton. Terry Whitebird stepped down as coordinator of the Ford County Emergency Management Agency this week, citing a toxic work environment created by those with a personal vendetta against him. After meeting Friday with the county board's chairman, Chase McCall of Gibson City, Whitebird informed McCall that he would be retiring, effective at 5 p.m. Monday, May 11th, to end his 7.5-year run as EMA coordinator. Whitebird submitted his formal letter of retirement to McCall on Saturday. Whitebird, who turns 57 this week and has worked in emergency management for 20 years, said in a text message to the Ford County Chronicle on Friday that this is time for a new chapter in my life. Following Monday night's county board meeting, McCall said the board planned to appoint a replacement soon. We plan to act swiftly in order to maintain continuity of government and service to Ford County, said McCall, who, as board chairman, will act as head of the EMA in the interim. Regardless of who is hired as EMA coordinator, the EMA will have to be rebuilt, said County Board member Tim Nuss of Rural Roberts. There has been a lot of issues within the EMA under Whitebird in recent months, Nuss said, including what became a combative environment that caused the departure of several of the agency's volunteers. Whitebird's retirement letter referenced that same toxic work environment while putting the blame on specific unnamed EMA volunteers and others. Unfortunately, the environment is no longer productive because of the actions of individuals from within the department who have failed to do their part in helping the department grow and improve for the citizens of Ford County, Whitebird's letter began. Issues within the agency first surfaced publicly after Danny Neal resigned on February 6th as deputy EMA coordinator, citing various frustrations that included his claim that Whitebird declined the help that I arranged by the state and neighboring counties to meet our mandated deliverables, grants, and training exercises. Around the same time, Iroquois County EMA coordinator Scott Anderson said his agency would no longer help Ford County's EMA with its mandated training exercises due to Whitebird's refusal to put that assistance into practice. Following your public admission to me that you have not held any core capability training or exercises within the last 7 years of your tenure, I will not risk the residents of Iroquois County by having assistance come from someone that will not meet our basic standards, Anderson wrote to Whitebird. Whitebird's retirement letter mentioned no specific names, but it did note his frustrations with an individual and those he recruited to take me down. Those toxic individuals received assistance from other toxic individuals on the county board with their own agenda, Whitebird said, noting that Ford County EMA had a liaison to the county board who chose to use his influence to sabotage EMA instead of assisting it as he took an oath to do. Those individuals, with assistance from people outside Ford County, chose to have a personal vendetta to see that those individuals they have chosen would be able to take a prearranged plan to unseat me and prove that I was an unfit leader, Whitebird said. Those individuals created and fed the toxic environment that led me to step down as coordinator. I wish the county and Ford County EMA well. But because these individuals still reside in their positions within Ford County government, I have chosen to leave the Ford County area for my own health, safety, and that of my family. Whitebird, a rural Buckley resident who has been EMA coordinator since January 2019, said his decision to retire was made after a long decision with my family and self-reflection. We wish Terry well in his retirement and appreciate everything he's done from an EMA perspective in the several years he served Ford County, McCall said during Monday's meeting. Board member Cindy Erke of Rural Roberts asked that a certificate of appreciation of service be sent to Whitebird on behalf of the board. He did a lot of work to get the Ford County EMA back on track, Erke said. The aforementioned Neil, now deputy coordinator of Iroquois County's EMA, said he would consider filling the Ford County EMA coordinator's job if approached by the county board. Meanwhile, Whitebird said Friday that he expected Alex Bromberek, who was named part-time deputy EMA coordinator last month, to be promoted to replace him. McCall introduced Bromberek to the board Monday. On April 13th, the board approved the hiring of Bromberek as deputy EMA coordinator at an annual salary of $4,400. A subsequent announcement on the Ford County EMA's Facebook page said Bromberek began his work in emergency management in 2013, with the Plainfield Emergency Management Agency, then later joined the Will County Emergency Management Agency in 2015, serving as a hazmat team member, completing hazardous materials operations training, and serving on the field services team. Most recently, I began volunteering with the Ford County Emergency Management Agency in 2013, and I am honored to now continue serving in this new role, Bromberek said in the announcement. Turning to the inside of the Ford County Chronicle, we have from a restaurant in downtown Gibson City, horseradish set to close, but we want to see there be a future there. Open house to be held May 26th to discuss ideas for future of site. Gibson City. An open house will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 26th to get public input on possible ways the downtown Gibson City site that currently houses the Horseradish Restaurant can be used after it closes on Sunday, May 17th. Co-owner Barb Horsch said the restaurant at 209 North Sangamon Avenue will close for good due to higher operating costs. The community is important to us, Horsch said. We want to see there be a future there at that location. The open house at the Horseradish will be a time when people can come in and share ideas of what they think will be helpful and good for that space, she said. Our hope is that we can pass it on to someone who will take it over. General Manager Lauren Tomlin said the rising cost of utilities and insurance, plus other cost increases, have made it difficult to offer profitably. An example, red cabbage that used to cost $20 a case now costs $60 a case, she said. Horch said the restaurant, which opened about 4 years ago in the former home of the Baron Stuber German restaurant, employs two servers, one cook, and one dishwasher, in addition to Tomlin. Tomlin said the decision to close or cut back hours has been under consideration for some time. We just decided the business would close on Tuesday, May 5th, Tomlin said. Adding to the difficulties was a recent storm that damaged the mechanical system for the business's walk-in cooler. The mechanical system sits outside, Horch said. One of the top covers was blown off it, and it got rained on. There was also a power glitch. Horch said the system was installed in 1991. The business received an estimate of $19,000 to replace the system. Insurance paid for part of the replacement. It was one of several equipment problems the restaurant has recently experienced. That, plus the rising cost of fuel and food, everyone is feeling that, Horch said, and people don't have the disposable income to dine out. People also seem not to be as inclined to venture out into public since the COVID-19 pandemic, said Matt Burns, executive director of the Greater Gibson Area Economic Alliance. Citing software data, Burns said that is especially true of out-of-town residents. I think just about everyone, everywhere, is struggling with food costs, especially the food industry, Burns said. The biggest thing is how to catch people passing by to come in. Burns said Gibson City residents continue to frequent local establishments, but they need the boost provided by out-of-town traffic. The Stuba and Horseradish both were incredibly impactful businesses in our community, Burns said. Part of that was drawing people from all over the county. I think all over the country. I think of our communities, we had to relearn to be social. Burns said Horch had made it her goal to bring people together, but it is harder to do in the post-pandemic world. We're still reeling from it, frankly, Burns said, adding that local officials are optimistic something can be figured out to start up in the Horseradish location. I just think this moment speaks to the importance of all that we've talked about as far as downtown development and getting people into our community, said Burns, whose organization is teaming with the local Chamber of Commerce to kick off a downtown branding project this summer. Horch said three buildings comprise the location for Horseradish, the oldest built in 1866. That building houses the banquet area, while the other two house the bar and the dining area. Horch's son Sam, who also co-owns the business, which opened in August 2022, under the ownership of Sam Horch and Matthew Ertel, who is no longer involved in it. Horseradish, a play on the Horch name, and the popular condiment, is not a traditional German restaurant, but rather a German-inspired farm-to-table restaurant. While a few traditional German staples appear on the dinner menu, such as schnitzel, most of the food for lunch and dinner has been American, grown by farmers in East Central Illinois. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, May 13th. Marjorie E. Beland, and that is spelled B-E-L-A-N-D, Paxton. Marjorie Eileen Beland, a lifelong Paxton resident, died at 10:20 a.m. Friday, May 8th, at her home, surrounded by her family. Funeral services were held Wednesday, May 13th, at the Bayer Family Funeral Services in Paxton, with the Reverend Barry Hinkle officiating. Burial followed in the Pine Ridge Cemetery in rural Lota. Memorials may be made to the Christian Life Church in Rantoul. Betty L. Garb, or it could be Garby, G-A-R-B-E, Gibson City. Betty L. Garby, 99, of Gibson City, died Monday, May 4th at the Goldwater Care in Gibson City. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Juan Perez, Onarga. Juan Perez, 47, of Onarga, died Monday, May 4th at the University of Chicago Medical Center. Funeral services were held Monday, May 11th at the Life Church in Gilman, with funeral service officiated by the Reverend Jim Harkins. Burial followed the service at the Onarga Cemetery in Onarga. Memorials may be made to the Life Church in Gilman or to his son Isaac's education. Scott Walker, Ludlow. Scott Walker, 64, of Ludlow, died unexpectedly at his home on Thursday, May 7th. Per his wishes, no memorial services will be held. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to Cat Snap Cat Rescue in Champaign. Wayne W. Weber, Buckley. Wayne W. Weber, 90, of Buckley, died at 1:20 p.m. Tuesday, May 5th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Saturday, May 9th at the St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley, with the Reverend J. Kevin Wyckoff officiating. Burial followed in St. John's Cemetery in rural Buckley, with military honors accorded by the Buckley American Legion Byron A. Hickerson Post 432. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church and School in Buckley or Christ Lutheran High School in Buckley. John David Zirkel, Watseka. John David J.D. Zirkel, 86, of Watseka, died Thursday, May 7th at his home surrounded by his family due to a recurring battle with cancer. Funeral services were held Tuesday, May 12th, with the Father Michael Powell officiating. Burial with graveside services followed at St. Mary's Catholic Cemetery in Gilman, with military rites accorded by the Gilman American Legion Post 499. Memorials may be made to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Shirley M. Coyne, Clifton. Shirley M. Coyne, 99, of Clifton, formerly of Onarga and Watseka, died Thursday, May 7th at La Bella of Clifton Nursing Home. Cremation rites were accorded, and a private graveside service will take place at a later date at Ridgeland Township Cemetery in Thawville. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Michael L. Hubner, Danforth. Michael L. Hubner, 76, of Danforth, formerly of Onarga, died Friday, May 8th at the University of Chicago Medical Center. Per his wishes, there will be no services at this time. Deborah R. Vance, Paxton. Deborah R. Vance, 68, of Paxton, died Sunday, May 10th. Private family burial will be held at Glen Cemetery in Paxton. A celebration of her life will be at 4 p.m. Friday, May 15th at Lakeview Country Club in rural Lota, where family and friends are welcome to stop in, visit, and share memories. Memorials may be made to Paxton's annual Down Syndrome Awareness Walk or to an organization of the donor's choice. With high school graduation season upon us, we close with an article by Lily Young, the Ford County Chronicle's news reporter intern. Loved every moment we had together. Paxton. Kylie Williams and Alexandria Sadlick, like many of their senior classmates at Paxton Buckley Loda High School, have been around each other for practically their entire lives. I've been here my whole life, since preschool, Sadlick said. Soon, though, members of PBL's high school 2026 graduating class will be moving on to new places and people, leaving behind Paxton, Buckley, and Loda, but definitely not the memories they made there. At 2 p.m. Sunday, May 17th, they will share one culminating moment together as they walk the stage in their school's gym to receive their hard-earned diplomas from members of the Board of Education. In their time together, these seniors have grown close, forging countless memories ranging from sporting events to playing senior assassin. I would love to say that I absolutely love our class so much, soon-to-be graduate Caitlin Dodge said. I've had the honor to pretty much grow up here with these students and see how they grew up as well, and it was an absolute pleasure. We have definitely had our rough times, like friendship and relationship failure, drama and fights, but I think all of that really brought us together. They all have their own plans for the future. While some are going in different directions, others might still see each other around campus, a new campus, that is. I plan on attending Parkland Community College to study music composition, music theory, and accounting, Senior Owen Bloom said. Afterwards, I wish to transfer to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign to continue music and accounting, said Senior Mason Vaughn. I plan on attending Illinois State University and majoring in sports management. I will also be a student manager for the Illinois State football team. Senior Tyler Cole said he wants to go into ag business. I want to attend Lakeland College for ag transfer and then go and obtain a four-year degree for ag business, Cole said. Senior Adriana Montenegro Ramirez, meanwhile, plans to jump right into the workforce. I plan to work after high school, save money, and explore both career and creative opportunities as I figure out my next step, she said. When asked to tell of their favorite memories during their senior year, students gave varied answers. Said Dylan Autumn, my favorite memory was diving headfirst into Connor Murphy's truck bed for Senior Assassin. Said Cassidy Castile, one of my favorite memories was the trip to the Art Institute in Chicago that the AP European and AP Literature classes took. Other favorites included going on lunch dates with friends, senior sunrise, and simply getting through the school year. My favorite memory from my senior year is recognizing how peaceful it felt overall, Ramirez said. It wasn't just one moment, but the way everything seemed to settle as I saw growth and change in myself and the people around me. Senior Kaylin Dodge said she will miss her classmates and looks forward to graduating with them. I would not ask for any other class to be by my side on one of the biggest days of my life, accomplishing one of our biggest moments together, Dodge said. I would say that this class brought out the best in me, and I loved every moment we had together. I don't know where we will all end up, but I wish everyone the best of luck, and I hope they all follow their dreams. The future is bright for all of us, added Vaughn. These were the fastest 4 years of my life. I will miss the class of 2026. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.